Blog Talk Radio.
To save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here. The check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home, MyZestiness.com.
Hey guys, Sam here, host of Against the Grain Radio Show, where every week we feature a guest speaker whose knowledge, careers, or entire lives are based outside of societal engineered norms. Listen in to hear their knowledge and experiences, plus have a chance to ask questions, discuss, and make connections with these incredible individuals. We're bringing the village back. Join us every Wednesday evening at 4:30 Pacific Time and 6:30 Eastern Time on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Body and Soul Awareness is a radio show geared towards anyone ready to reconnect with their true selves and get back into balance. Spend 90 minutes with us, Stephanie and Oksana, business owners and friends who are eager to discuss the importance of taking responsibility of your own well-being. We are two ladies on a mission to be the best possible version of ourselves while helping others to do the same. We will share our own life experiences and practical knowledge of how to take responsibility of your own well-being by implementing lasting lifestyle changes.
Yes, there are lots of toxins out there. Yes, there are lots of bad things going on in the world, and even people with bad intentions. But no, we are not here to talk about that. We're here to help you to discover positive lifestyle changes to help you navigate through ingeniously designed chaos. Join us and our guest speakers while we discuss topics like natural living, nutrition, skincare, healing arts, consciousness, meditation, self-awareness, spirituality, herbalism, body energy, movement, and more.
Join us live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on FreedomizerRadio.com.
All right, sorry about that. I just had this really good intro, and I realized I was on mute, so I'll have to start over. But anyway, welcome to another great episode here of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. Of course, I'm Proof Negative. I'm your fill-in today. I am the owner of Freedomizer Radio, and I have my own show, which is weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That's 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. And Nick Pierce is physically on an airplane right now, which means he cannot do a show and be live on an airplane at the same time. So I said I'd fill in. We're going to have some callers here. We'll get into a bunch of discussions and share some news articles here and try to explain what it is that we do to a lot of – there's a lot of people out there that – that still haven't heard of us. There's millions upon millions of people that would join our movement if only they heard of us. So that's been my message. Although with Facebook, I've been sharing this for the past 2 weeks. I got put on a 14-day ban by Facebook, or as I call them on my show, Spybook, because I shared a picture from our BIL business page to the linked BIL group, and they're linked together. Obviously, I'm the owner of everything. I'm the president, the executive director. I'm the head admin for everything we do, and I just sent just a... Well, no, I sent a picture as a test, but there was a mega viral video that was out that got like 40-something million hits, and I just shared it from our business page to our Facebook group. And the second I did that, I got a 14-day ban because they said that I was spamming myself. It was a video of an indoor climbing wall. I don't own the climbing wall. They are not a sponsor of the show. I don't even know who did this. It was probably just some climber that just did something nice in their own yard or their own bedroom or living room, whatever it was. It was just a normal climbing wall. As you go up somebody's stairs, they have things that you can climb on the side of the wall, and was shared by over 42 million people. I share it. I get 2 weeks because they said I was spamming and I was being abusive with spamming, which means I was really getting some serious spam going on. So they gave me 14 days, and in a few hours, my 14 days will finally be up. And I get to walk into whatever world that's been left for me. I feel as though I'm the dad that had to go on an emergency trip with the teenagers and all that in the house. And I get to see what I walk into today. So for those that are wondering what happened to me, why aren't I busy in the group? Why am I not recruiting? That's kind of why. So my whole goal, though, make sure that we stand the test of time. So 60s, the 70s, there were a lot of us out there. The 80s started winding down. 90s, not really. The 2000s, not so much. But now people are learning their rights. And granted, there was a website that started back in like 1995-ish. Back when the internet was in its infancy. And that group did try to accomplish a lot of the same things that we're doing now. But around 2001, 2002, they lost steam, and somebody else took it over simply to preserve the group, not to progress, not to work on any newfound freedoms or gain press or to let people know that they exist, but simply to preserve it. And it went from being a very active group to basically just being a bunch of selfies. And my goal is to actually pick that back up and do something a lot more substantial. So we were selling the VIB memberships. We applied for our nonprofit license. So we took the proceeds from that, combined with a loan from me to fund our nonprofit officially. So we'll have our 501c3 here shortly. So the paperwork's done. It's all bought and paid for. It's official. I have a receipt. I just need to wait for the IRS number to come to me, and then we're good. And I just want to make sure that we have support staff and members that feel exactly like my vision here of people that are just tired of the harassment and getting yelled at, getting laughed at. It's just kind of sad when you could spend $400 on groceries, get to the counter, and one of the managers literally runs to you and takes your card away and tells you to leave the store, when all you're trying to do is give them your paycheck. So they don't mind if ice cream got melted and meat reached a certain temperature and they have to throw it out. They have no problem throwing out the entire grocery cart if needed. And it's just weird how you can be shopping somewhere, minding your own business, trying to give the store your money, and all of a sudden somebody, an employee, will come out of nowhere and start cursing at you. Like you're unwrapping all the meats and farting on them. You're urinating on bacon and smoking crack all at the same time. That's how you're treated in some places. Other places just laugh and have a good time and tell you to come back. But there are still some that just don't like money for some reason. So that's why we exist. That's why we've created a nonprofit. That's why we're trying to focus on what it is that we want. And I see you there, Ginger. I'll bring you on here in just a second. So my whole mission here is just to make sure that we're taken seriously. And the thing is that when people join the group and they think that everything is comedy night and you're not putting any serious work into it, you're just there so why are you dirty hippies here? Yeah, that will get you an immediate ban with no explanation needed. My goal is not to create comedy night. I'm not recreating Live at the Apollo or Evening at the Improv. We're here to actually accomplish a mission. And people might think I'm like the most serious person in the world, and it's not exactly that. I actually spent 8.5 years of my life as a stand-up comic, but you just have to realize that there's a time and a place to be funny, and trying to get your rights from a corporation, it's really not the time in most cases to sit there and try to work on getting your chuckles on. So the way I believe in doing business, I'll go ahead and bring Ginger on, and we have Alex as well, who is going to join us here momentarily, but since Ginger's here, I'm going to, she called in first, so first up here.
Hey.
So
I'm just
the word
calling
on the
in
street?
For support. I'm just calling in for support, but you know, I'm right there with you. I love what you were saying, because the other day I was at a grocery store and I got accosted by the security guard. And I've been to the store 1,000 times barefoot; it's never been an issue. And for some reason, she personally took exception at, you know, the audacity of me being barefoot in public. And she said, well, you can't do that here. And I said, why? I come here all the time. And she goes, well, there's food here. And it's just, I just wanted to cock my head at her and say, okay, could you walk me through the logic? Just walk me through the logic. But they never have logic. And so for her, it was all about whether there was a sign, and sadly, there was not a sign. And, you know, so then I just had to sit there like a doofus while she went and got the manager, who turned out really couldn't care less whether I was wearing shoes. She had stuff to do. But just the sheer logic, there's food here. And like you said, it's not like we're running back to the meat department, you know, unwrapping it and rubbing our feet all over it. And I just want somebody somewhere, one of these people with that those prejudices, to just walk me through the logic. Okay, let's look at this rationally. What do you think that I can do with my bare feet that you can't do with your shoes in relation to food? I'm not picking up the tomatoes with my toes any more than you're picking them up with your clodhoppers. So how does the presence of food somehow make my feet dangerous? I really, truly, honestly want to know, because I don't understand.
Well, it all stems from that big thing 50 years ago when hippies were considered the scourge of the earth because they were against the Vietnam War. And
but that's all over now, and most of these people aren't even old enough to have known about. They don't teach it in school anymore, so most of them have never even heard about it.
I understand all that, but when they came out with the by order of health department, they were successful in brainwashing people because nobody was ever able to look it up before. They just assumed that it was the law, and so they're enforcing what they've been told since they've been two. Oh, you can't go outside and get the newspaper unless you have shoes on. Why are you outside getting the mail without your shoes on? Come on, we have to.
Yeah.
You have to go drop off so-and-so. Get your shoes on so you can get in the car. It's just something that everybody's heard of.
Yeah, I was at the park walking my dog the other day, and a Hispanic man didn't speak any English but was so just appalled. I mean, he tried smiling, but he kept pointing to my feet, and I speak just enough Spanish that I understood he was saying, where are your shoes, where are your shoes? I'm like, I'm at the park. I'm in the grass. You know, why can't I be barefoot? I mean, it was so appalling for him. He couldn't even imagine. And you know, you go to Mexico, there's barefoot people all over the damn place. This is a truly American phenomenon, I think.
Yeah, but people laughed at us for the last 50 years or so, and there's a group that started 20, 25 years ago that was on the right path, but after 5 years, they kind of gave up, and they became a coffee club, and heaven forbid you try to do anything that involves showing people our mission, so I'm here to pick that back up and run with it, and I think we've done a pretty good job. If you don't mind, Ginger, I want to bring on as well. I don't want him to hold too long here, but we have Alex.
Hey, it's your show, kid.
Hey, everyone.
I figured he might want to meet not just me, but one of the fellow management team here. So, Alex, if you purchased a VIB membership, it is the combination of Ginger and myself who got that mailed out to you.
I didn't purchase it, but I will.
Oh, I'm not here to demand money from you. I'm just saying that she's the one that helped me out with this.
Oh, okay. I think
I'm the one
profile on Facebook, Ginger. I think I recognize.
Well, you don't have to call me Ginger on this show. The only reason I go by Ginger on the other show is because it could end my career. But everybody knows I'm barefoot. I go barefoot all the time. So you're welcome to call me by my true name.
She likes being more offensive on my show than her own show for some reason.
Well, because I do have a very public life, and, you know, there's a witch hunt right now.
Oh, there is for me.
You know, you speak your truth, and you can lose your job. You can, you know, be demonetized on YouTube. You can, I mean, lots and lots of things can happen if, God forbid, you actually tell the truth. So while I am still truthful, I don't get quite as radical on my own show as I do on Proof's show.
So,
yes,
Alex,
no, everybody.
I don't know if Alex has ever checked out my show yet. I know you've met Alex Jones before.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Really?
Yeah, it's on my profile if you want to check it out.
I'm a little miffed at him right now.
Facebook.com/AlexJavier1 I didn't hear that last part you said.
Oh, I said I'm a little miffed at him right now. I love his show, but he's being duped, and it's like he can't see it because the girl's pretty. So I'm little ticked at him right now.
Hey, we're all growing, right?
Yeah, thing is he can do some irreparable harm both to, you know, conservatives and to his show, because this red pill black girl is bad, bad, bad news.
Oh, that girl.
And
well, let's see what happens. We'll see. We always try to give people the benefit of the doubt, you know. So.
Well, give people the benefit of the doubt, but when they still have up a live and active doxing website that can cause people, you know, to be murdered, that's another story.
I think I remember hearing her interview just about yesterday, and I got to listen to it again, but I think they were talking about that, so it may clear up some stuff. So.
Yeah,
well
she's playing the victim card, which is totally...
I don't want our BIL listeners to run for the hills here.
I got you.
So,
I got you. Well, you know what's funny is that even the people who say that they're all for freedom freak out over the idea of bare feet. So.
I hear that.
Right. So, Alex, how long ago did you find us?
You know, when I talked to Nick a couple of weeks ago, I told him I think it might have been like maybe last year, a couple months ago, but I really don't remember. I don't know. I just remember stumbling upon you guys by accident. I don't know if it was through Daniel Howell, you know, from Liberty University, the biology professor.
Yes.
Because I actually learned about him first. It was like Barefoot Society, and then I kind of just did all this research, and I guess I was trying to find community, and I just stumbled upon you guys on Facebook. I think that's how it happened. And then I went from there.
Yeah, so Daniel Howell used to run the Facebook group for the SBL, and I was second in charge, and then Daniel, his workload piled up, so he asked if I could run it. And I ran it for exactly 100 days, and I ran it with the same vision that I have with the BIL, and the goal obviously was to put us on the map. So the admins I hired there all revolted against me because they said nobody's interested in my ideas. Nobody's going to do anything that's remotely into activism. All admins should do is watch for profanities and make sure that people are getting added.
Unbelievable.
And so they kicked me out, and they've been stalled ever since because I know how to bring people in. And it's kind of an acquired art, I suppose, and I'm always willing to teach people what I do. But you can't be an activist group and get mad when somebody wants to get involved in activism. And I think even though we've had a slow 2 weeks because I got banned, I think we're still on to big things. I'm just looking forward to working as an official nonprofit. I'm confident that we have enough membership to be able to do that. I think it shows the fact that we're serious.
Yeah, I mean, the more professionally looking it is, people will, you know, take us seriously. more seriously.
Well, that's the whole goal. Why would you just, to me, there's a difference when you can explain who you are and share that no laws exist, rather than telling somebody, hey, I'm going to do this whether you like it or not, and when you have a day off, I'm going to shop that day.
Hmm.
But that's some people's mentality. You get in their face and you yell at them and demand that they call the cops. That's not what is going to help us. The more negativity you bring, the worse it's going to be. So that's why I think the ID cards would work. And if we can't resolve it there, I've had to leave a grocery cart with over $400 worth of stuff before, and they have no problem throwing stuff out or putting it back on the shelf. Never mind $412 worth of stuff might have paid for one employee's salary for the week. They don't care. But other companies do care. For everyone
that doesn't care,
there's 25 that say, I'll take your money.
Yeah, absolutely. And one idea I was always thinking, like, if you go in groups and droves and they tell you go fly a kite, or like, you could have a whole 50 people, if they were all barefoot, just leave all that money in the store, go somewhere else. You know,
I would love to organize something like that. I would love to organize something like that.
And I bet you it would be 60 or 75 people in one spot.
It's like herding cats, though.
Yeah, we can't even get 5 people together for a meetup, so getting 70 for a store, that would be the ultimate, though, and maybe as we grow and we could teach people how to grow their communities, maybe we can do stuff this. That would just be the most fun thing. Go ahead.
Isn't it always... Well, I've always heard the 80-20 rule, you know, 80% of the people will do 20% of the work. The other way around. Did I get
that? Yeah, 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
Yeah, that's what it
right.
is. Thank you. And so, I mean, there you go. So that's what you got. I got many, many people, invite many, many people for things. And then, you know, you'll get the desired amount. So that's why you have to, like, invest a lot and get a lot of people involved, because then you'll get a better outcome, even though it won't be as big. So.
Right.
But
we're
getting there.
Well, I try to teach how to be responsible with marketing. And I know how to maximize. It's just that I'm kind of wondering here. There's a couple of different factions. Either I have a mole who follows my every move and puts everything I do as spam, or ever since I started a different page, which is the Las Vegas Shooting Truth page, I noticed ever since I started that, almost every day I get some flag for spam now.
Interesting. I didn't even know about your other page.
I'm aware of it, and, you know, that stinks that they do that. It's just like, oh, I guess they don't want us to know certain things, you know. But, yeah, it's like, oh, just let people be, you know.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything illegal, and if these people are mad that we're posting news against them, then stop doing bad stuff and I won't have to report on it. That's all.
That's the only reason. Yeah. Like we say, do your job, press, or we'll do it for you. So, yeah.
Well, that's what I do. And I've had people say you should stop following certain things because you should let the big boys do the news. But I'm not an armchair journalist. I mean, Freedomizer has a legitimate business license. I've been on air with Freedomizer 8 years in January, and I'll be on air 10 years in March. So it's not like I'm a spring chicken
here. congrats. That's good stuff.
Well, I mean, we really haven't done that much yet, though, so we're just scratching the surface. But as far as the BIL goes, I like the fact that you've been a pretty good ambassador. I'm hoping I can teach you one day, Alex, some of my tips and tricks and see what you can do to help us grow. That's what I want to focus on in the winter because that's our slow period. So my goal is to, while it's slow, to get more education in and get people ready for the spring when we can really explode.
Yeah, that makes sense. All in the east, northern east coast and upper, you know, west coast areas where there's snow, not as many people will be out there bare.
Well, so, yeah, even in Las Vegas, we'll have an overnight low of 34. It's not exactly fun all the time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's too cold for my little tipsies.
I figure we have about 6 weeks of the year where it's just not perfect, so to speak.
How about your neck of the woods, Ginger?
I'm in Vegas,
she lives
too.
She lives about 8.5 miles away from me.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
But I only end up putting on shoes, and usually not even shoes. I just put on woolly socks when it's so cold that I would get frostbite, you know, because I got a pair of those they're not UGG brand, but they're UGG-like, but they're nice and fluffy and fuzzy and very, very warm. And that's about as close as I get to wearing shoes.
I remember someone in the Facebook group posting moccasins, and somebody was saying those are, you know, what they use for when it gets a little cold. But I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I actually spent quite a bit of time trying to find real moccasins, and I can't find any that don't have those awful rubbery soles. I wanted just good old, because I used to get them all the time when I was younger, just good old-fashioned, you know, leather-soled mocks, and I can't find them anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to ask my cousin. She loves them.
And that's kind of why I moved to Las Vegas, so I don't have to look for, hey, but if it's cold, what do you wear? I don't focus on that so much.
Yeah, I love it here. I was just going to say, I love it here. We're going to have highs in the 80s today, and, you know, it's almost November. It's awesome.
That is very good. Over here in Connecticut, it was 40 this morning, and now it's about 57, supposed to be 69 today, and that's about it. So.
Forget
it.
Not
that bad.
Yeah, I grew up in the Seattle area. Wet, cold, dark, all the time, just all the time. It just wears on you.
And now you got done.
Yes, sir, and I love it. Blue skies and butterflies.
So let me ask you, what keeps you in Connecticut?
Who is that for?
I was asking you, what keeps you in Connecticut? What makes you not move to a warmer climate?
Oh, well, you know, it's you know, monetary, but, you know, I just got to get some stuff situated here first. I don't know. I grew up here, so... You know, I always have, like, you know, there's always, I think people can get to the point where they'll be thinking like me. So you try to stick around, you know. That I graduated with, the majority of the people I graduated high school with, they're like, oh, man, I can't wait to get out of Connecticut. It's just funny you just mentioned that. But then it, like, 15 years later, you run into folks, and they just kind of trickle back. Not all of them, but, yeah, there's a lot of people who just, you know, I'm out. And there's actually one girl I know, she's in L.A. now. She loves it in California. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, guess this is where a guy has me right now, so that's what we'll do.
That's funny. Well, when I went to my 20-year radio.
Go ahead. I'll
I was going to say, when I went to my 20-year high school reunion, there were only three of us who actually moved out of the state, and most of us stayed within two or three cities of where we grew up. It's funny how few people actually move away after they graduate. In fact, a couple of them actually still work at the same school that we graduated from.
Yeah, there's a few. One particular girl I graduated with, she's actually an English teacher at the high school. So, yeah. Hey, but everyone's got their thing, you know?
Yep.
I did want to mention, you mentioned about moccasins. I don't know if you've ever seen me post this, but birthdayshoes.com. Have you guys heard of that?
Birthdayshoes.com. I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's kind of your, like, I think of it as your one-to-go shop for everything minimalist and barefooty. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I did see this website.
So for the people who... need
most
layers.
Of these shoes are still too they're still too shoey for me.
Yeah, that's why we got the barefoot sandal makers on the site for that.
Yeah,
so. Which they have very good looking stuff. So.
I'm forced to wear shoes when I'm on stage. I do improv with a troupe, and we all have to look uniform. And tennis shoes weren't working. I mean, I actually end up tripping and twisting my ankles and everything. So I found plain black neoprene water socks, and they worked great. They were really comfy. They didn't hurt my toes. I didn't sweat, and I could still feel the ground underneath me, and they had a nice grip. So that's probably what I'll, when I'm forced to wear shoes, that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, if that works for you, that's great.
Well, I just had a good-looking man make me a beautiful breakfast, so I'm going to go enjoy my Saturday. I might pop back in the second hour. You guys have a great show. Well, we'll listen.
Well, we have 50 more minutes, so do your worst.
All right. Well, I'm just calling in for support. I'm glad that we have this show. There's big changes on the website. If you haven't visited the website lately, go to barefootislegal.org and check out some of the changes on the website. If you have any suggestions, just let us know. Do we have info at barefootislegal.org? If not, I can set that up.
I don't remember offhand, to be honest. I don't know.
I'll go find out.
Ginger, before you go, I just noticed something. I called in around 1:45, so I just started hearing Proof saying, you know, he used to be a comedian. It's kind of funny because it seems like you do stuff on stage too. I'm a musician.
Yeah.
I play drums. It's
See?
Kind of funny how artists, you know.
And guess who else plays drum and who else has who else works on drum and bass every weekend for the past 8 or 9 years? You're among friends here.
I think I heard.
Yeah, guess who,
was
guess
I,
who
I was
has a drum set
Nick,
in their
right?
living room? Yeah, I actually have a drum set in my
Nick?
Living room.
Oh, you? Okay, cool.
Well,
yeah,
I think we have lots of musicians on here.
Yeah, my band is the Rambutans.
Okay. I haven't heard of it, but I'll check it out.
All right, I'll send you my SoundCloud. But I was wanting to, and thank you, Ginger. If you want to hang around, that's fine. But I know you want to leave here. But
I've got bacon in the other room, so I'm taking off.
That's fine.
But you guys have a wonderful
wanting...
day. Check out the website.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I was wanting to tell Alex that I'm originally from Long Island, so I understand that part of the country.
Oh, yes.
But it's mainly the Northeast, though, that we run into problems because that's where a lot of the shoddies are from, and then as they move, they take their values with them, I suppose. And... people are not used to the freedom because they only have maybe 6 or 7 months a year that that is warm enough, and everybody seems to be afraid of what other people are thinking. So everybody just, for whatever reason, is worried that somebody's going to say something to them, or they're going to get laughed at, so they don't do it.
Yeah, and I totally agree. It seems like, from my experience, and because I used to think this way, I used to be like the total opposite. I don't want anybody looking at my feet. But yeah, it seems like the East Coast, I guess depending on where you are, you know, it's right what you just said. Now, obviously, I just talked to you about when I was going to get my fingerprints done. And I talked about it on Facebook, and I don't know if Ginger's still there. She probably left, but yeah,
yeah,
it was, I just posted it on the group there, and I told everybody I was going to go for it. Everything was fine until I walked in. It wasn't a pleasant experience. So, if you like,
but
I
it
can
got done,
expand upon it if we have time.
But it got done, though, right? You're good?
Yeah. Everything's fine. I just didn't know if you wanted me to tell a little bit more about what happened.
Oh, have fun. Go ahead. You're among friends.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I drive over there, you know, and I get out of the car, take a picture in front of the police station. There was two, you know, citizens, you know, walking in and held one of the doors for one of the ladies, and she said, thank you. She went in, and I thought she was going for fingerprints. She wasn't. She was hand-delivering some mail or something. So I saw a sign, fingerprints this way. I took another picture, walk in, and there's this guy sitting there. I say, hey, fingerprints? He says, oh, yeah, we got fingerprints done. I'm like, okay. So I walk in, sit down, put my paperwork on the side, my keys and my cell phone, and I was going to try to take another picture, you know, of my feet and stuff. And then when he, you know, we started to proceed, I stood up, he's just standing over here, and, you know, I give him my license and all that stuff, and then he says, you're not wearing shoes? And then his whole demeanor changed. And this guy's probably around about 6'1", 6'2", and very obese. And then he just got very, very haughty and very rude, and kind of got me very uncomfortably, because then when you're uncomfortable, you don't think straight. And so apparently I wasn't supposed to fill out my print card first. The computer was supposed to, so he was upset about that. But he was like, I said, oh yeah, barefoot is legal in hours. So we're doing some stuff here. And then he saw my phone was on camera, so he turns it off, and he says, you know, real, like, not yelling, but like, you know, you got all this SHI, you know, over my desk, blah, blah, all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. In my mind, you know, I was trying to stay calm, be polite and all that stuff, but this guy was just, I don't know. And he goes, stand over here, you know, I said right thumb, I said left thumb, and he's just very rude the whole way. And, you know, and then I tried to, you know, to maybe calm him down. I said, you know, and I'm just here, you know, I'm just pretty much exercising today, trying to get my feet stronger. He said, and then he was just trying to not really listen. And then towards the end, when we're finishing up, he's like, you know that patients can, you know, refuse service, right? I'm saying, well, yeah, I mean, they can, but most companies, most places are fine with it. And that's pretty much where I left it. But yeah, he was just totally, like, bent out of shape over that. And, like, it was more like he was just dejected and shocked that how could I ever go into a police station, and he's not even a cop, I don't think. But it's like, I could have got a million, I could have said a million things, you know, to attack him, but I wasn't going to do that. You know, attack him personally, you know. But I wasn't going to do that because, you know, in the heat of the moment, you could say things that are not cool.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I proceeded to, you know, have a great day, have a nice day, and you know, you too, and then I walked out. So that's how that went down.
Yeah, for whatever reason, we do have people that believe that it's their duty to prove that they're better than you just because they have some piece of rubber under their foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just amazing how you can have something that's as thick as three pieces of newspaper glued together and held on by a rubber band, and people are like, wow, where did you get those? It looks like you're not wearing anything. But the second you're not wearing anything, the same people that are wearing those get offended. And they don't know why.
Yeah.
You were told it's offensive, and then it goes from there.
Now, I will be honest. I think those things are good alternatives if you're in an area, but, like, you know where they're just going to give you so much flack and you don't want to lose your job and stuff like that. But, I mean, I like those too, but the whole point is my whole view on all this is let people be, and it's their responsibility. That's what my whole thing is. If they want to be barefoot, that's their issue. Now, as far as being uniform and, like, all right, there's drum corps, there's, you know, stage shows and all that kind of stuff. And let's say, you know, I was in the marching band growing up, and sometimes I'll watch drum corps and stuff like that. And there's the visuals and stuff out there. If one person is not wearing exactly what the other person is wearing or doing the exact same thing, it's going to look off. So I understand that part of it. But when you're just going about your every day, I mean, let people be. I'm like, I mean, fun. And I used to think this way because you're afraid. Some people think they're trying to help you because they're afraid for you that you're going to get hurt or something or whatever. So, like, this primal thing comes out of them. It's just crazy. And it's all education because I used to not want my feet shown at all when I was growing up. So now
I don't
even care. Well, I mean, I still care sometimes, still get nervous, but I try to do it more and more so I get less self-conscious, especially in places I've never been. But other than that, everyone's at different levels, you know? It's just, that's just my take, you know, on it.
Yeah, but maybe that's the reason why everybody is up in arms over you is because they're afraid to do it or they've been yelled at. This isn't something that people do until they're 30 and then start yelling at people over it. This is something that was learned when these people are younger.
Well, heck, maybe that is true. Well, I believe it is true because I work in education in schools. And oh yeah, you know, I don't know if you heard the show. When I talked to Nick a couple weeks ago, but one of the teachers caught one of the kindergarten kids with their shoe off. Just wanted to fix their sock, and she says, you know, how you need to put, like, sternly, you have to put your shoes back on because what happens if there's a fire and we have to run out? And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, lady. And you could see on her face that she was not believing the BS coming out of her mouth. She just knew. It's funny because personally, a lot of people that I've talked to at work, they love being barefoot and they hate shoes, but they have to wear it, they say. It's all like people do things because they're told they have to, or they'll lose their job, or so on and so forth.
Yeah, when you go to the bank, like, all this paperwork is going to fall on you and give you all these paper cuts, but you'll never get a paper cut on your finger. They don't ever ask, well, how come you're signing that check and you don't have mittens on, because what if that check cuts your finger? I've never been told that once.
Oh, man, I should use that.
Like, yeah, I don't know if you ever come to the bank without shoes on.
I'm sorry?
I don't know if you've ever gone to the bank without shoes on.
Oh, but yeah, I have. I have a credit union that I go to, and I've been there many times. They're cool with it. Yeah, they seem to be cool with it.
Like, back in my stand-up comedy days, back in the, 96, 97? I had, like, $43,000 in the bank. And I went in there, and I was putting my paycheck in the bank. And they told me that I was not allowed to be in there because I could drop something on my foot or I can hurt myself. And so I said, look, if you're making me go home just to put on flip-flops to go put my check in the bank, then I want to close my account right now. And so they said, that's fine. Just get your flip-flops and then we'll close your account when you come back. So I came back and they grabbed the manager, and the manager came out trying to defuse the situation. He said, we don't want you to close your account. We just want you to at least wear flip-flops when you come in here because you might drop something on your foot. But I said, no, that's okay. I was offered to close my bank account, so that's what I'm here to do. You should have seen them struggling to try to put $43,000 together.
Wow.
So they eventually had to give me a cashier's check, which I took down the street and opened another bank account, but that's how they are. You know how hard it is for a bank to get somebody that has over $40,000 in the bank account, and they just go, here you go. I'm stupid, so therefore I don't want your money.
Yeah, it's just programming, man. This is like I was watching a YouTube show last night, and unrelated to this, but one of the things I heard the person say, oh, yeah, we have to unlearn things. And I've unlearned things so many times. And that's like a great word, a great phrase to remember. We have to unlearn a lot of things we've learned over the years, you know.
And that's exactly what this all is. But at least you know at the very least, Alex, that we're not a bunch of die-hard, bleeding-heart liberals here. We do have a lot of libertarians within our group.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag, which is great. I mean, everyone, it's just another, if you're a human and you're walking and breathing, you know, breathing and walking, then you want to go barefoot, you should be allowed to. And obviously, if there's places where you use your tools that are called shoes in certain situations. Some people are hardcore. I know Nick says he's hardcore. The Pierce, you know. I don't know about, you know, if you have to go to the hospital and there's like a place where they're using electrodes and you have to have some type of rubber because you don't want to be a conductor. Or in other words, and another example I was thinking that was kind of funny. Let's say that's the one time you don't want to go barefoot outside when in thunder and lightning. I'm thinking to myself, that's probably the best time not to. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but yeah, you probably don't want to be out.
I don't know. It depends, I guess. But my whole thing is with the group is that we're not here just to, like, an all or nothing thing. It's about empowerment, and the important thing is that you know your rights, and you do handle your rights on a regular basis. Now, you don't necessarily have to be 24/7. Like, if it's June 30th and I have to go outside at 1 in the afternoon and it's 118 out, I'm not going to be stupid, so to speak. But just like if you're in Duluth, Minnesota, and there's there's 38 inches of snow, now that's probably not the good time to handle business.
A lot of daredevils out there.
But there's a lot of time where it is. And the good thing is that you can choose when and where to go. It's not I just want to make sure people empower themselves and they have fun with their rights, because if it's not fun, why do it?
Yeah.
But I've always
absolutely.
Said with people, though, that if you've never tried it before, at least try it two or three times before you say, no, I would never do it, because you may or may not like it, but if you said to yourself, yeah, I've done it before, at least you can say, hey, it's not for me. And that's one thing I try to push, too, because there are people that join us. They've never done it before. 2 years later, they still have never done it. It's like, well, you're not getting much fun out of the group because you're not participating.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's at different levels for whatever reason. I mean, I would call it maybe novice, intermediate, and advanced as far as the barefooting goes, you know?
Yeah. No, I get it. But, like, even at work, what I say, too, some of our group is not simply about not going places with shoes on, but there are what I call the education and employment, where they focus more about what the dress rules are for shoes, and that's the most important part of the whole building. It's like they focus more on that than your whole job description.
Yep.
And for what? I have a friend that works at a Bank of America out here, and her branch manager, and this isn't Bank of America's policy, this is her branch manager, said that if your shoe has any more than one toe showing, you can wear open-toed shoes, you're just required to wear nylons with them, because one, it's a health department violation, and two, they have filing cabinets that even though it takes three people and a forklift to move it, that we have them and they can fall right on your foot.
Well, you know, proof that that's the reason why you're going to get protected with nylons. I mean, nylons protect you from big, heavy, you know, filing cabinets. Didn't you know that?
Well, even though it takes three or four people and a forklift to move it. Yeah, even an earthquake will not move these filing cabinets. But somehow, if you're not wearing those steel-toed nylons.
Unbelievable. I think it's about optics. I agree. I mean, it's just the way people think. And I, like I said, I can say things like this. I can comment because I used to think that way. It's just that you have to change your thinking on all this. And I think a lot of people have different reasons for maybe being like, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, we can imagine what those are. But it's like, I guess you just have to take that step and, like you said, try it out for a couple of days and then a week and then see if it's for you or not. I mean, you can't just write off, nah, because you saw someone else or this and that. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
oh, exactly. So I've been trying my best to find those kind of people that are tired of dumb dress codes and getting sent home over little piddly stuff. But there's no big Facebook group for office drones, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to reach these people other than just keep making friends and keep sharing the word.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that would work. And I did notice that people who, like, as you would say, office drones, it seems like a lot of people who work in education or cubicles and stuff like that, or from my observation, my experience, it seems a lot of them are into movies and film and TV shows and all that stuff. Maybe if these shows and movies portray more barefoot people, maybe it'll change the psyche of people, and, you know.
Well, some of us last year were discussing trying to make a documentary that we can put out there, but for whatever reason, it ran out of steam. But it's not like we can't try it now.
Actually, that would be a great idea. That would be a great idea.
And now, under a nonprofit, well, all that would come off our taxes, I guess.
Yeah. I think that would be a great idea. I mean, I just recently found, I don't know if you heard of, it's on Netflix, and it could be cool. If it could work out, it could end up on Netflix, but I found, you know, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead documentary. That's just about, you know, a guy's health, and he changed himself through juicing and all that. And they have a sequel. You know, I never heard of that till a couple months ago, and that's been around since 2014. I didn't even know that. So, if anything, you know, a documentary that's made could end up on Netflix, and then people will see it. You know, when big change happens, can happen slow or fast, depends on what it is. But I think it's just education, like you said. You just have to keep educating people, and maybe, like I was mentioning before a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, even maybe trying to quote unquote trick schools into going barefoot, using that Tom's One Day Without Shoes prop or Samaritan's Purse, or, you know, National Barefoot Day on June 1st, just
so
to try to get.
I'm glad you brought that up, because earlier this decade, it looked like that was becoming a big thing, but over the last 2 years, maybe it really hasn't been that big. And from what I've read, I guess people are still so scared to even try it for one day that it's lost steam. And you have the people that have already said that they will never in their life do it for any reason.
Probably for people who've been ingrained in their brain, and probably maybe the East Coast. And I you know, it's funny you say that, because I saw the creator of Tom's, I forget his name. Ironically, you think his name was Tom, but. He said he got interviewed, and, you know, on the One Day Without Shoes at his company on the news, and you know, he tried explaining, you know, why they do it, and he seemed a little taken back that they were kind of like okay about it. And, you know, I don't want to say he was nervous, but it seems like it wasn't as freeing as it was years before in the past. But I noticed last year when I tried to promote it, I went on their website and on Facebook, they weren't really promoting it. They had the, like, these little lapel pins now that you give to people. I'm like, what is this lame thing? Did you cave or something? Because other people still, the year before that, they, instead of having on a specific day, they had a between May, I don't remember the exact dates, but let's just say for, you know, May 12th to like May 24th, you know, Instagram your foot pics and send it, and then we'll give you shoes and need. I'm like, how wimpy is that? I mean, what's the point of that?
That's because so many people are afraid of trying it.
Yeah, and that's probably what happened, and probably maybe made its way all the way to the East Coast. Who knows? But all over the world, it's different.
So let me ask you, because I have years and years of experience here, and not that I'm saying that my method is the be-all and end-all, but I think that with your background, being that you're involved in Truth News and, of course, the BIL and some other stuff, I started back in 2010 I built my empire just making 2 to 5 new friends every day. I wanted people that had some friends with other friends, but they didn't exactly know everything that I'm doing. Because I don't want a bunch of parrots. I want to be able to educate. So if you ever notice on my spy book, I could post something and I can have 2,000 different people comment. And I can have a post get 5,000 or 6,000 comments long just on something really small. I think that, especially if you went into some Connecticut groups, that just simply add a few new people every day that look like they might have something in common with you. So then when you post something, you're not speaking to the choir or speaking to people that already know what you're doing. I have new people on a regular basis. I take my social media seriously, maybe more so than I should. But that's how I've been able to grow. It's not because I'm lucky, or I had the guy that took over the SBL a couple years ago. We
and what is
them,
SBL? Southern Barefoot League.
Yeah, I don't want to say their name here, but they are.
Oh, okay, sorry.
They are the former place that I used to manage
until they banned me.
But they said the only reason why I'm bigger than them is because I advertise.
Okay.
So,
shouldn't we all?
Yeah, I have no problem. I have no problem getting down. And if I share if I make a meme that gets, my record is 15.2 million hits on one meme. And so I have no problem getting down for 2 weeks doing 8 to 10 hours a day just trying to write to as many people as I can and getting them to try to join our group. If that's advertising and makes me bad, I don't care. I just believe in getting our word out. And the thing is that with my, when I add Facebook friends, and it doesn't matter whether it's for Freedomizer, whether it's for the BIL, whatever, my goal is to make friends first. Eventually, people will ask what I do, and I tell them, oh, I run a radio network, and I also run a nonprofit. And then they say, tell me more. And so I'll just drop a link. Oh, I'm interested. Oh, okay, well, if you're interested, here, this is our Facebook group. It's that simple. You don't have to 5 times a day post the group that you're in. All you have to do is make like-minded friends. Because the average person really is either curious or they feel like us. I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people want to know what the laws are.
Mm-hmm.
The average person does, in fact, feel like us. They just don't know that we exist. And if I'm adding 2 to 5 new people a day on my Facebook, when somebody adds me as a friend, I always say thank you for adding me as a friend. I'm proof in Las Vegas. And then they'll say hi, and eventually they'll ask me what I do for a living, and then when I tell them, they will always ask, what's your radio station and what's your nonprofit? If they don't ask, that's fine. The goal is to make friends first. It's not, hey, I need a sale every single day of my life. Because eventually people will share something of yours and they'll have friends. That's
exactly
why I've said we can always triple in size. If everybody in our group simply told our group to 3 people a year, we would triple every year.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
3 people a year, if you're in an advocacy group, should be like nothing.
Yeah, I agree totally.
So, but some people call me like a hard ass, and they have some choice words for me because, well, I take this seriously, and I, I demand success, and I'm not here to waste my money.
Yeah, you're not here to... I was going to say... I missed this saying. Not pansy around, like foot...
Yeah, I know.
What a pun on words. Tiptoe around. Oh, man.
Yeah. But, you might see in the group, I have some people that devoutly hate me. Because I don't know how to take a joke. I can take a joke. I enjoy joking around, but
comedian.
I'm here to get some work done. Yeah. You have to know when to be funny and when you have to be serious. And that's the good part about being a comedian. You have to know you're best funny when you don't have to prove that you're funny. You just do it.
Exactly. Wow.
Like when I go up on a stage and I talk about how a grocery store in Florida once told me I need to at least wear socks in case I drop a frozen turkey on my foot. People laugh at that. They think they think it's funny.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Unbelievable.
But they do that. Like, I went into a mailboxes, et cetera, once. It's like a UPS store. And they said I can't go barefoot because I could drop my purchase on my foot. I was buying stamps.
Yeah. Yeah, when I think, and the other thing, too, about what we're talking about right now is humor, I think, is the best way to get points across. You know, I'm a big comedy buff. I love comedy. I was actually, funny you said that, because I was actually trying to, that's one of the things that I still have on my bucket list to do on the side, is do stand-up and stuff. But I love cartoons, you know, like old school Looney Tunes and all that.
Yeah,
but
gotcha.
I noticed my favorite type of drawings, like or political cartoons, because they get the point across, but in a fun way. So, yeah, but I think that's the best way, because I think people respond to humor way better than just like, rah, 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 you know? So,
I understand that. But see, I could speak to corporations and management without feeling embarrassed or guilty, or at the same time, I don't feel like I need to push an agenda 24/7. So that's kind of how I can reach people. And
yeah,
just
and
being
people,
human. Go
exactly.
Ahead.
Exactly. I was just going to say, just being like an everyday person, and, oh, this guy's just normal like me. He just doesn't have shoes on. Okay, well, what does he have to say? You know, kind of that, yeah.
Right. So everybody pretty much knows, even though they might think I'm an ass, but I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't have any negative history, really. So everybody knows I'm here, and I, at least even though they think I have the personality of a flea, that I could still be effective and work for them. So that's the general consensus.
Gotcha,
they just haven't talked to me before, that's all. Anybody that's talk to me realizes what they have, but the thing is with people like myself, I don't have any people that say he's okay. Either they like me a lot or they can't stand me, and that's the way it is in radio. Like Alex Jones, you have people that love watching him and listening to him, and then you got the ones that curse his every breath.
Love him or hate him, and that, you know, everybody. I remember, Roger Stone was saying that, well, this is what he says. Not everybody's like this, but, you know, people who want to be noticed, you know, as long as they love you or they hate you, they're still watching you. You know, they're still going to pay attention, you know.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. With Halloween... I always find it hilarious that You could dress up however you want to dress, but the same rules with shoes apply even more so.
Now, let me see if I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that when you go out and see people dress up, they dress up in their favorite costume or character, and let's say one of these characters is a barefoot character, they're told they got to wear shoes? Is that what you're saying? Or are you just saying that,
say you go to work dressed up as Fred Flintstone. Nine out of ten jobs, they're going to march you out of the building.
Yeah, or like that Moana or that Disney, what was that Disney movie?
Or not even just that. What if you're like Peppermint Patty and you wear flip flops, and they're going to walk you out. It's like wear whatever you want for pants and a shirt. Wear a hat if you want. Wear gloves, but you still, even if you're wearing hippie clothing, you still have to wear black dress heels.
Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph. I know there's some folks out there that look like him. Oh, well. And then, or the Hobbit. Then they have to get Hobbit feet that are barefoot anyways. They look barefoot. Isn't that hilarious? Oh, man. Ugh. I know. I think it'll change, though, and I think if schools get behind this, I think it will just grow as well.
But you realize where the change starts from, right?
At home, I would
say. Well, it starts with us in the group because we're the subject matter experts.
Just like that other group
that became a coffee club, they strongly, very strongly, are under the belief that if they just wait long enough, somebody else will make it cool and then they can go do their thing. But that way of thinking never works. Just ask all those people in North Korea that are like, maybe if Kim Jong-un dies in 30 years, maybe the next person will come around and give us freedom.
Yeah, be nice.
That's not going to get your freedom together at all.
Well, you know the definition of insanity is. There you go.
Yeah.
I believe in making change
and trying to find people that are willing to make change. And if you, Alex, want to take the next level and become an advocate, you can message me anytime. And I'm willing to share everything I know to everybody. I've never sat here and said, look at me, I'm the man. Who cares if I run a group between the business page, the website, and the Facebook group that has right around 70,000 unique people? That doesn't matter. If people are still getting tapped on the shoulder and having their grocery carts taken away, we've done nothing.
Yeah.
So my goal is to empower everybody, teach everybody what I know, because if you know how to handle business, then you'll know how to bring people in. You'll know how to handle stores. And if we have 10,000 people doing that, then everybody reaches three people, then we get ahead. So it's about empowering everybody. It's not sitting back and let it be the Proof and Nick show. That's not ever what this was intended for. Around this time next year, Alex, I want you to say, man, look at this. I have a Connecticut chapter. We got 30 people going to meetups. We were able to talk to some stores. And I bet that would sound good.
Yeah, that would be great. It's funny. Well, not funny, but you had mentioned the meetup. I found one that's called Barefoot Hikers of Connecticut, and I said, hey, is there a barefoot meetup where people just do stuff barefoot? And the guy says, we already have that. It's Barefoot Hikers of Connecticut. But there's only like four members, and I don't think they've done anything in about 8 months.
No, probably not. But,
and I mentioned BILL to them, but no response.
No, we're profanities to them, because you might have people that go hiking, but just because you go hiking, you might still not be into saying that you go into a store. You're just walking in the park. It's like, big deal. Not that there's anything wrong with going in the park. I mean, I do that all the time. I'm just saying you're not exactly pushing the envelope.
Yeah. To be fair, I did see an invite, actually. Actually, my memories got triggered. There is one event that they put up that I saw a couple months ago. I think it was in June. And they said they were going to, like, walk around a certain city. I won't mention that city, but it's about an hour from Hartford. And they I don't know what happened of it. They were just going to, like, a 20-minute walk or something around the city or something like that. But other than that, I don't think I've seen any groups of any kind like that. And I did notice that, you know, meet up, yeah, if you're going to be a coordinator, obviously you got to pay and all that jazz, which is fine. I've only seen I've seen one barefooter in my neighborhood, but I don't know if she's a full timer, because I'll see her go to her car, that's about it. And then I saw one lady walking her dog in another neighborhood. That's about it. You know?
Well, yeah, but if you can find people in your area, like, there could be, like, Connecticut Health, for example, and I could start looking up some recommendations for you for just meeting people.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I just think we have to expand our minds and get out of our comfort zone, and I think you're the right person to look for some of that, because you do have some of the health and wellness, you do have some of the truth news stuff behind you, and the more things you have in common, the more likely you're going to pick up like-minded friends. And even with my own radio show that I have here at night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, or 6 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast, I can add in BIL to Truth News. I can add it to Health and Wellness, because I've incorporated that all into my life. And my goal is just to share my complete vision of what I see in my show, and I can make it work, and it will equate with people. Whereas, let me put it this way. I believe in having a full tool belt when it comes to being an advocate or an activist. And if your air conditioner breaks, you're not just going to go up there with a hammer. You're not going to get much done. If your television breaks, a hair dryer is not going to help you. So I believe in having as many different tools and hitting people from as many different angles as possible. And if we can accomplish a group of people who can do that on a semi-regular basis, then we're going to be unstoppable. But we're only stopping ourselves a lot of times. Whether it's just somebody going to a store and not feeling empowered, or reaching out to others, we can change the mindsets. I've done, like, flea markets and farmers markets before, and I'll set up shop, and people are just amazed. They want to talk. They
that
tell
actually,
you where they
actually,
got the battles and stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that actually is cool, though. I had a table once at a farmer's market for Legal Shield, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not as receptive, because people see, you know, legal and all that, and people are there to buy food. But when it comes to fun things, or health, you know, that does sound like a good idea, having a, because normally people who go to farmers markets are health conscious for the most part, and that's just one more aspect of it. Feet, I'm like, oh, wow. And when I go to the farmers market, I don't wear shoes, and there's actually a farmer there Kugnos Farms. He's a full-time barefooter as far as I'm concerned, and he's always barefoot. We joke around. Okay. One time I wore flip-flops, and he's like, "Whoa, what happened? What's wrong with you?" You know, he says, "We don't serve people with shoes with shoes on here." It was kind of funny, but you know, I hear you. That actually is a good idea.
Well, then you have another project. Then because I've been asking about this, because part of what we want to spend our money on is occasionally doing flea markets and farmers markets and such, and we want to be able to pay for that. And then we would need to not only find out how much it costs, but if somebody would be willing to handle the booth for us, because I can't be everywhere. So if this is something you might be able to do in the spring, then just find out what the charge is. And if we have money in our budget, then I would like to handle that.
Oh, that'd be great. I believe it's like, do you want me to tell you how much I think it is on the air or off air?
Yeah, that's fine. You can be on air. I don't care. But we do have like 48 seconds left. But go ahead.
Okay. Until commercial break or until we're done?
Oh, it's done. Our 90 minutes are done.
Oh, cool. $25 I think it was to sign up.
I'd be willing to try that one day in April and see what happens.
Cool. Awesome.
Anyway, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for talking. And I will be back Monday.